Glad you guys are with us. I'm so excited to be diving into a brand new series today. I got to knock the rust off. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to do this. Again, it's great to have you guys here. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're so glad you guys have joined us. Thanks for being here. And we're starting a new series today called Just Like Jesus. You know, I thought about that. What does it mean to be just like Jesus, right? I'm thinking, well, let's see, Jesus was compassionate, right? I mean, we could say if you're compassionate, that would definitely be something to be just like Jesus. But I thought, well, you know, like Mother Teresa, she was very compassionate. And of course, she emulated Christ in so many ways. And I thought, oh, I know, to be just like Jesus means you're like a great world-changing leader. I thought, well, yeah, but I mean, like Winston Churchill, he was that. He was a world-changing leader. He helped us and massively win this huge battle, this scourge called Hitler, right? And so that was a game-changing move. Oh, I know, to be just like Jesus is to stand up for truth. Well, I mean, Gandhi stood up for truth, and he was a world-changing impact player that changed, you know, lives by standing for truth, by defending freedom, you know? And I thought, well, that's true. So what did Jesus do that's unique to everybody else? Like, what's the one thing that he was about that would make it totally unique, that if we did that one thing, we'd be just like Jesus? I thought, if you're going to be just like Jesus, you got to be carrying a cross. Because that's how you're just like Jesus, right? I mean, he was known for what? For the cross, what he did on the cross. And I wonder how many of us, honestly, you know, the Bible says very clearly, it says, take up your cross and follow me. I wonder if you're busy trying to pray away the very thing that's making you just like Jesus. Oh, some of you are ready for me going back on sabbatical now, aren't you? You're like, I don't know about this sermon. This is a little strong, Pastor. I don't know. But see, if we're going to be just like Jesus, you're known for something, right? I mean, you know, like, if you want to be just like Taylor Swift, you got to write a breakup song, right? I mean, it'd be just like Patrick Mahomes to have the game-winning drive. It'd be just like Joe Rogan to ask a challenging question. But it'd be just like Jesus if you're carrying a cross. And so I want to challenge you today that if we're really going to be followers of Christ and our character and lives are going to look just like Jesus, then you got to do what it says in Luke chapter 9. It says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I looked up that word deny. It means to disown yourself. Oh man, that's a lot more than I thought deny meant. It means that me in the equation doesn't even matter. Like, I shouldn't even think about how I feel about it. It should be all about him, right? That's what it means to be just like Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's next level, isn't it? You know what that tells me? That tells me this. Would you write this down? We need to lay down our agenda and let God have his way. It's hard to do that. It's easier just to kind of have our own agenda. We're like, I got plans, but I got things I want to do. And I think there's nothing wrong with setting goals and having plans until your plans become your God. And then God will say, you got to lay those down too. Even if they, I think my plans came from God, that's great. But God gave Abraham a child. He promised him that, and he still said, go up the mountain and now take that child. So it's like, oh. So even good things from God had to be laid down at his feet. So I just want to challenge you that could God be doing something new in you that you didn't expect? See, a lot of times we're on a detour. If you're like me, you're not on plane A, you're like on B, C, D, E, or F. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I thought this was going to happen, but it didn't turn out. I thought that was going to happen, and it didn't turn out. But God has a plan. The number one way you know God's getting his plan done is because yours didn't get done. But we struggle with that. We're like, but I want what I want. God, don't you know I got a will for you to do? And God's like, no, I have a will for you to do. Did you know I was studying Jesus because I figured I should study him since we're doing a series called Just Like Jesus? And as I was studying him, did you know there were 37 recorded miracles that Jesus did in the Bible? But this is interesting. 10 of them were after he was interrupted. After he was heading a certain place, and then someone said, no, Jesus, come over here. We need you to help over here instead. And so he's walking along, and someone touched the hem of his garment. And he's like, oh, I felt the healing power leave me for a second there. And so he took the time to stop and be interrupted and pour into this woman who was sick for years. And, you know, one time he was just trying to preach and said, Jesus, everyone's hungry. And he goes, okay, forget my sermon. Let's feed everyone. So Jesus was always being interrupted. I wonder if you're saying, oh, God, I want your miracles. And God's like, you won't even let me interrupt you. You won't even let me get my plans done. You're so upset. You're still mad that I didn't do exactly what you wanted, but that's how I get my miracles done, is that I put you on my plans. I put you on my agenda. So are we okay going with his agenda instead of our agenda? I really wasn't planning on taking this much time off, to be honest, but I was just worn out, just kind of having a tough time, and my wife said, honey, I think you should go see someone. That's code word, men, for you're driving me crazy. So I called a buddy of mine, and I said, hey, you told me about that thing you went to, that like retreat thing. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, where is that at? And he goes, oh, is this guy's name and number? So I called him, and it was this counselor that specializes kind of like in leaders and people that are running stuff or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I want to go talk to this guy. So he was 6 months booked out. I couldn't even get to him. And then 2 weeks later, I got a phone call that said, this never happens. He has an opening. Would you like it? And I was like, that's, you know, I've learned that interruptions, those are God things. So I was like, yeah, I'll take it. Flew out to Colorado to see him, spent 2 weeks with this guy. 3 days into our conversation, he said, hey, I want to tell you something. I was like, yeah. He goes, you need extended rest. I was like, no, I don't. He goes, yeah, you do. I said, no, I don't. He goes, yes, you do. No, I don't. He flew my wife out to convince me that I need extended rest. So I was like, now I got my counselor and my wife looking at me going, you need rest. You need to take care of yourself. You need some healing, restoration. And I still wasn't convinced. Like, I don't need that. I'm fine. I'm just go, go, go. I'm just a doer. Any doers in the house, like, let's go. Let's do it. Right? But God said, not now. You need to stop. You need to work on you. You need to get some healing. I didn't want to do it. But I've learned something, that if I'll listen to the voices of God, which are oftentimes through other godly people around you, God can do great things in you. So I got interrupted. It wasn't what I wanted to do. But you know, that rest brought me clarity on a lot of things. Rest is not just for your body, it's for your soul too. Are we willing to stop and take some time with God and let him speak to us? That's what I had to do. Maybe you're on a detour right now. This isn't exactly the plan you had laid out, but God's getting his will done. So let him get his will done. Don't fight it. Just trust him. Trust that the Lord has a plan. Here's a prayer you can pray, by the way. Pray this prayer. Say, God, what do you want me to do? See, we're so busy trying to get God to do things for us. What about us saying, hey, God, what can I do for you? He'll answer that prayer. And so let God begin to speak to you in that way. There was a young man named Cliff. He put some money together. This is the late, mid-40s, long time ago. And he scrounged some money together to get married. Fell in love with this girl, got married. And he had just enough money to get a couple of train tickets. That's how he traveled back in the 40s. A couple of train tickets to a small town where he heard there was a resort. And he thought, we'll go stay in that resort for our honeymoon. So they get married. They hop on the train. A couple hours later, they're dropped off at this resort town. They walk in the town. They see the resort. They walk up to it, and they realize when they get there, it's closed. Talk about a detour. He's like, this is my honeymoon night. I had some plans. And he got a detour. He was like, we know what to do. There was no cell phone. There was no one to call. Like, what's he going to do? And his train tickets aren't for another couple days to get back home. So he's like, we don't even have anywhere to stay. Someone saw their predicament, walked up and said, hey, you're from out of town. Yeah, we were supposed to stay here. He goes, oh, yeah, that closed a while back. I guess you didn't hear about it. He said, but I have a friend. This guy just said, I have a friend that owns a grocery store in town. She has a room above her grocery store. Maybe you can stay there. So now he finds himself staying in a dingy room above a grocery store for his honeymoon night. Cliff happened to be a musician. He loved all the old hymns. And he brought some instruments with him. He brought a trombone. I don't know who brings a trombone on their honeymoon, but whatever. So the next morning, he's up early, and he's playing his trombone, and the lady in the store is like, what am I hearing? So she goes upstairs, I'm sorry, you can't play music here. This is a store. We can't do that. And she realized this is going to work out. So then she says, hey, I have a friend you can go stay with instead. I know you need a couple more nights. So now he's on a detour of the detour, right? He's like, this is not what I thought at all. Now he's staying in some lady's house, as we know. And she says, hey, my church has an evangelist, a young youth evangelist coming in town. Why don't you come this evening with us? And so he's like, sure, I have nothing else to do, right? So him and his new wife, they go to this youth revival, and he's sitting on the front row, and he sees this commotion going on, and then someone comes up and says, hey, we heard you're a musician. He goes, yeah. He goes, can you sing? Yeah. Can you play piano? Yeah, absolutely. He goes, well, do you know any hymns? Because that's what I specialize in. He goes, okay, well, the musician that normally travels with this guy, he's sick. Can you fill in? He was like, sure. And that's the first night that Cliff Barrow met a young Billy Graham, who became the greatest evangelistic team in history. If he wouldn't have had the detour of detours, he would have missed the assignment God had for him. What if your detour is actually an appointment that God has appointed for you? God has a plan in the detours. Let's give God some glory that he knows what he's doing when we don't know what we're doing. He's got a plan for you. So if you're taking notes, the first thing I want to challenge you to take up your cross is to lay down your agenda and let God get his agenda done instead. Now, the second one's a little tough. I'm not going to lie. It's a little tough to hear this, but this is part of taking up your cross. I want to challenge you, number two, to let your spouse, parents, or boss have their way. Now, how many of you right now are like, okay, pastor, go get another preacher. You need to go take some more time off. We don't like this sermon at all. I get it. But look at the scripture. This is all throughout the Bible. Let me just show you a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 5 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is a marriage verse. This is where the Apostle Paul is talking to the people of Ephesus about marriage. And he says, submit to one another. Now, all the men right now are like, hold on. There's another verse in there that says, wives, submit to your husband. Oh, that's after this verse. And you didn't finish the verse either. If you're going to say it, say the whole thing. Wives, submit to your husbands, because the husband head of the church. All the men are like, yeah. Hold on, we're not done. And the husband is the head of the church like Christ is the head of the church. What did Christ do for the church? Oh, he died for the church. I don't see you dying yet, bro. So my point is that even in your leadership, you should be the first to serve, the first to put the other person first, the first to say I'm sorry, the first to, you know, do the right thing. I want to challenge you with this notion in marriage, we're always supposed to put the other person first. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, love isn't always me first. It's really true. Now, check out this one. This is all for the students in the room. Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Now, all the students are like, again, I don't like this church service. I don't want to. Why am I bringing this up? Because here's the deal. If you ignore your spouse's needs or wants, if you ignore your parents' needs or wants, if you ignore your boss's needs or wants, how's that going for you? So could it be that we're just being a little selfish, and if we'd be more Christ-like and put others before ourselves, great things can happen. Again, Jesus, he's got an agenda. He's on the way, and he gets interrupted, does a miracle. He gets stopped. Hey, there's someone over here dead. Oh, I'll take care of that. And so Jesus can heal people, right? And so he brings people back to life. He heals people. He feeds the 5,000. He's always doing something for someone else. And so if the God of the universe is about other people, maybe we should be too. Think about that. Jesus died on the cross for us, right? Even when he's on the cross, he's hanging in agony. He's thinking about the guys on either side of him, and he's being a witness to them. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if I was Jesus and I was hanging on the cross, I'd be like, let the bodies hit the flow. I mean, it'd be over, right? That's why I'm not Jesus. So he was about other people. He was not trying to get his way. In the same way, look at this scripture. It says in Philippians 2, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus by taking the very nature of a servant. You say, man, I want to be the boss. I want to be in charge because then I can be the man. I can be the woman. I'm a big deal. That's probably why you're not in charge, because why would God elevate you to become more selfish? Because leaders actually are supposed to be, they're supposed to have the power to empower other people. So I just want to challenge you with this notion. Could it be that the very thing stopping you in your relationships is you keep trying to make your relationships about you instead of about others? So I just want to challenge you to put the other person first. Quit trying to get your way. Even Jesus didn't get it his way. He gave it to the Father. He said, whatever the Father asks me to do, that's what I do. So I just want to challenge you that we could be a whole lot more like Christ if we would just get over ourselves. We're so busy trying to gather followers than be a follower. We're called to be a follower of Christ, and that means putting God first and putting others first. Here's a prayer you can pray. God, what can I do for someone else today? It's a powerful prayer. God, what can I do for my spouse today? What can I do for my kids? What can I do for my family? What can I do for my boss? What can I do for my neighbor? What can I do for someone else today? Just want to challenge you. It may seem really simple, but that's what God will use in your life, is if you get over yourself. It's amazing how we're all trying to make ourselves happy, and happiness keeps eluding us because trying to make yourself happy is the greatest way to make yourself miserable. But if you'll get your eyes off yourself and on making others happy, on making a difference in other people's lives, then guess what? The byproduct of that is that you have peace. So make it about other people. You see, here's the truth. Everybody wants what Jesus offers, love, joy, peace, purpose, but nobody wants what it requires. It requires a cross. And if you'll lay down your life, then God says, if you'll give your life, what happens? Then you get a life. If you'll make it about other people first. You know, I want to stop a moment and just challenge you with this, because maybe right now you're like, Pastor, that sounds great, but I'm already carrying the cross. You have no idea what I'm going through. I don't. But even Jesus, when he carried his cross, when he literally physically carried his cross, maybe you've read this or you've seen the movie, either way, he fell under the weight of the cross. Did you see that? And then a Roman centurion demanded a guy that was in the crowd, grabbed him and said, you, help him with the cross. And then a guy named Simon helped Jesus carry the cross, which means that even Jesus needed help carrying his cross. So I just want to stop a moment and just encourage you today. Maybe you're here today and you got a lot going on, and you got a really difficult situation you're facing. Maybe no one knows but you. Can I just tell you right now that God has brought you to a church that wants to love on you and be here for you and help you, and we'd like to help you carry your cross today. I mean that. Scripture says he used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin. His wounds became your healing. Isaiah 53 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, and by his wounds we are healed. Here's a prayer. Where do I need to deny myself to bring healing to a situation? Where do I need to quit trying to heal myself and bring healing to someone else, right? I want to take a moment, if I can, though, and just say, if you're hurting today, at all of our campuses, those watching online, our prison ministry, if you're hurting, and maybe no one knows what you're going through, but you know what you're going through, I want to ask you to do something a little bold today. Would you slip your hand in the air so we can pray for you? Would you just hold your hand if you're just hurting? Is this just a tough moment? Just hold those hands up. Thank you. There's hands going all across. Go ahead. All across our church. Keep your hand up. And those that are around you right now, I'm going to ask you, with this sensitivity to the Spirit of God, just would you place your hand on their shoulder, and we're going to pray for everyone in here. At all of our campuses right now, you can get up and move around if you need to. You want to get up, if you see someone that needs prayer, just go ahead and get up. It's okay. And let's pray right now. Those who are online, you can put in the text chat, just text, I need prayer. And people will be praying for you in the online community right now, Church Unlimited Online. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you, God, for this person that we are touching right now. And I ask that you would touch them now, that you would begin to bring your healing balm over them, that you would bring your healing oil and touch their hearts and their lives. May they know today that you see them, that we see them, and that you are beginning the healing process today. We thank you, God, that this difficulty has an expiration date, that this challenge, this problem, Lord, you are already bringing your solutions, your answers, your resources to the problem. And Lord, I pray, God, that right now, that the burden that they're carrying, you would half that burden, that they would know other people are now lifting them up, carrying them. They're not alone. Thank you, God, that none of us are alone, for you are with us and you've given us a church to support one another. Thank you, God, for this time. In your name we pray, amen. Can we just give God a hand right now for his healing? Praise God. Praise God. What happens is the cross brings healing to all of us. You get crucifixed. God wants to give you some crucifixed, right? He brings healing to you and to me. I want to encourage you with one last thing I want to point out. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, for our light and momentary troubles, they don't feel too light, do they? Right? You're like, it doesn't feel light. But in this perspective, it makes it feel light. Look at this. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Can I tell you something about God? God is a rewarder of the faithful. So here's the good news. When no one sees what you're going through, God says, I see you. I know what you're going through, and I will reward you. Did you know he says in the Word? He says, every tear you cry, I store it up in a bottle. What's he saying? He's saying, I see your pain. I'm going to reward you for all of that. Some of you serve in children's church or the nursery or out in the parking lot. You see, I never hear a thank you. First of all, let me say thank you. But also, I want you to know that God sees you and you'll be rewarded for that. Some of you right now, you're like, man, you have no idea. I just feel like all I do is change diapers and I'm a milk machine for these babies. I don't know what to do. It's like, Pastor, I'm working myself to death. I'm so tired. And God says, I see you. It's a season and I see you, and you'll be rewarded for that. You see, everyone else seems to be getting their promotion in the office, but me, God says, I see you. I see you, and there'll be a day I open the door for you. Trust the Lord. Stay faithful. You say, I'm going through it in my marriage, and you have no idea the difficulty. God says, stay faithful. I'll reward you if you will stay at it. God says, I reward the faithful. So either on this side of eternity or the other side of eternity, God says, I will reward you for what you're carrying right now. He'll reward you. Praise God. Number four is your affliction pales in comparison to what it's earning you. It's really true. The prayer I want to encourage you to pray is this: God, I will obey, and I know you will reward me. God's a fair God. He's a just God, which means when you are treated unfairly, God says, I will make it up for you. You don't need to get revenge. God says, I got that. I'll take care of you. I'll bless you. I just want to encourage you today. He sees what you are going through, and he will reward you. The last verse I want to give today is Matthew chapter 11. It says this: Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That word rest doesn't just mean physical rest, although that's important too, but it also means he will give you a peace. He'll carry you through your dark times. Maybe you're separated right now. God says, I see you. I'm going to carry you through this. Maybe you're dealing with addiction. God says, I see you. I'm going to carry you through this. See, you have no idea what my child's causing in our family. God says, I know. I do see it. I know your pain. I'm going to carry you through it. I'm going to reward you. Pastor, you have no idea the mess I'm in. God says, I do know. I see you. I'll reward you. Just stay faithful. You know what really spoke to me about this verse is Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary. Now the scripture tells us from a theological perspective, evangelism, right? God says, I will leave the 99 and go after the one. He says, I will come to you for evangelism. I'll come to for you to be saved. That's evangelism. But discipleship, you always go to him. You know what I found myself doing this last year? I'm going to be honest with you. Come on, Jesus, come on, let's go. Come here. And Jesus is like, no, that's not how it works. You keep trying to get me to come to you. You need to come to me. Okay, Jesus, but I got plans, I got things to do. And Jesus is like, I know, I can do all that in an instant. All the effort you're giving, I can do it in an instant. And that's when Jesus began to really speak to me. This counselor, I kind of like him and I kind of don't. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hate when you say stuff that's true. He said, tell me all your dreams, all your goals. I laid them out. I want to do this, we'll do that. We're going to do this, we're going to change the world. I had all these big plans. And then he dropped this on me. He goes, what if God doesn't care about any of that and he just likes you? I'm going to punch you right now. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to punch, come here, I'm going to punch you. I started to cry and I said, why'd you use the word like? Why didn't you say God loves me? God loves me. That's what it says in the Bible. He goes, no, he likes you too. He's like, Bill, when's it enough? When can you just be loved for being God's child and not for anything you do? I was like, man, I don't like this. Because I want to associate with what I do, with what I become. And God's like, no, I love you just because you're my child. So for the last few months, I've had to learn just to walk with Jesus. Take his pace, get some rest, and realize that he just wants to know me and me to know him. How about you today? If I can admit that before you, can maybe you admit it too? That we need to slow down and trust God and his ways and his time for his purpose to be accomplished in your life. You want to be just like Jesus, you kind of got to hang out with him. You got to slow down. Come to me. All you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed and eye closed? What's crazy about the cross is when Jesus bore the cross, he paid the price and we got the reward. Think about that. But he paid the price. But Jesus smiles and says, no, I got a reward too because I get access to you. Did you know you are a reward to Jesus? Did you know that? He loves you like that. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Have you ever given your life to Christ? He makes it possible for you to know him because he died for your sins, the things that separate you from God. Jesus died and rose again, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you and me to individually receive him. You can receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior by praying a very simple prayer across all of our campuses. Those watching online, just pray this prayer with us. We're going to say it out loud together. You can just say, "Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just hold your hand high right now? No one's looking, just hold your hand high. If you just gave your life to Jesus, just hold your hand high. There's hands going up all across our churches. Thank you, Portland. Thank you, Rockport. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Padre Island, hold those hands high. Right now, here at the broadcast, all the way in the front, all the way in the back, people's hands are up. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Rodfield. Praise God. God's moving right now in Stone Oak, Texas. Praise God. Right now in our prison ministry, hold those hands high. Those online, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text, "My hands raised." God, I thank you for each person that gave their life to you, that prayed that prayer for the very first time to receive you. Thank you, God, that you say that we are your reward. That just blows my mind that you care about us so personally. You just love us and you like us. That's amazing to me. Lord, I thank you, God, that when we go to you, we get rest, we get relationship, we get filled up. Thank you for your goodness today. Thank you for those who just came to you, and thank you for those of us who just came back to you, just needing that time to remember why we're here. We are here simply to serve you. It's your agenda we want. We lay aside our own agenda. We put you first. We put others first. And we thank you, God, for your word today. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. It's good to be back.